This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Since 2011, there have been a total of 74 cases of detainees dying in police custody in Malaysia, with authorities stating that most deaths were caused by medical issues, suicide, natural causes, and in some, police abuse and negligence. To help curb the problem, PDRM has decided to install a new line of smart CCTVs in 58 police lockups nationwide to enhance security of the detention control system. But will this be effective enough to help prevent detainees dying in nationwide lockups? I spoke to human rights NGO Suaram. Suaram was established in 1989 to help assist former ISA detainees in their fight to abolish the ISA Act, which allowed detention without trial. But now the NGO covers issues such as police brutality, torture, freedom of expression, and freedom of assembly. One of their main focuses now is helping to get justice for families of the detainees who died in jail. I spoke to Suaram's executive director, Steven Dorasami, and find out what are the main causes of deaths in custody.
It varies. Police brutality in some cases, negligence in others, and also foul play in selected cases. But, you know, whenever family members, those who died in custody, whenever they contacted Suaram, the immediate allegation is they've been tortured to death. If you got like 10 family members calling for 10 different death in custody cases, all 10 would wanted to say that they've been tortured in custody to death. But having said that, it is very difficult to tell for certain unless the family member managed to obtain a second postmortem. And however, based on official data, most of the death is caused by medical condition. This is what the police says. Officially, they will say because of some illness or unknown, but it's related to a medical condition.
In order to help family members get some closure over their loved ones who died in custody, Suaram tries to advise them to attain a second post-mortem autopsy.
Mainly, we wanted to find out the truth. Okay, one is, of course, there is the family members believe there's a torture happened, death in custody, and we will advise them accordingly, like, for example, asking for a second postmortem and get lawyers' advice. In most of the cases, we only know through newspaper. Then we try to contact family members, or human rights lawyer may have already contacted them. So we'll work together with them, advise them accordingly. Mainly, it's to empower them. Some of them, initial stage, they will be very keen to find out the truth. Then in the later stage, they kind of a bit reluctant because he's no more, so it's like, let him rest in peace, that kind of thing. So normally we will advise, get the second postmortem. They have to request, they have to insist. Most of the time the police say no need, or in some cases the family members, like, they are not empowered enough to demand or to fight. Our call is all the death in custody cases, it has to have a proper inquiry. Including if it's a medical, why the delay in the medical procedures and all that, but only selected cases will be taken up by SWAKAM or EIC. Last year, there's one case taken up by EIC. They have come out with the finding that there are foul plays in that case.
The EAIC, or the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, does not have prosecution powers. Because of this, Suaram wants the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission to be set up immediately to address specific issues like these.
They came out with a good recommendation, but then the EAIC, they don't have prosecution power. That's why from civil society, from day one, they're calling for the IPCMC and focus on enforcement agencies and police. But the EAIC have like 21 other agencies to look after. But most important is they don't have the prosecution power. I'm referring back to the case of Syed Azlan's case. The finding of EAIC, they said they have a strong evidence on the foul play. But then the police came out with a look into it and there is no proper measurement taken by the police force in relation to Syed Azlan's case.
Suaram wants PDRM to review their interrogation methods and, more importantly, educate their staff with knowledge of basic human rights.
Moving away from the interrogation method that involves bodily harm would eliminate some death in custody for sure. But most of the time, the police won't tell what is the SOP on the detentions. Even they can't reveal that, that is investigation procedure, they can't reveal the SOP. But then looking at the statistic, it shows that, like, for example, last year there are 11 death in custody cases, then they have to review. It's high time for them to review. And also, they need to empower the senior staff and also the new staff on the educating them with their human rights. So this training is also very important for the police. If you look at the trend from the ISA time to until now, I think there is not much changes in terms of the interrogation. We're also receiving a lot of torture in the SOSMA-related cases.
In the NGO's report, they found out that Malaysian authorities used systemic torture for ISC and SOSMA detainees. Some claim they were beaten, threatened at gunpoint and tortured.
Those were allegations made by the SOSMA detainees recently. We already lodged a complaint with Suhakam and also EIC. Detainees were subjected to, they were used as a punching bag by the officers and also repeatedly slapped and beaten despite cooperating. They're willing to cooperate with the investigation. Some say they were threatened at gunpoint during the questioning. Few also wrote that they were forced to strip naked and sexually harassed. And some cases, many of them were kept in a solitary confinement or dark room and beaten by officers there. One of the detainees claimed that the family members were also threatened. And also there are one or two notes saying that they were beaten inside the police van during transporting. So even obviously if there is CCTV, it won't be inside the van.
Now, coming back to 2016, PDRM, they've announced plans to install these smart CCTVs to enhance security. Do you think this will help make a difference?
It is important to fix the CCTV, and it's the most important part is to ensure it's working 24/7. In some selected cases, it's like we see the record of one of the death in custody. There's one death in custody in 2014. His name is Ramasamy Raghu. He died in the Bayan Baru police station. But that Bayan Baru police station is a centralized police detention center, started operating in July 2013 with CCTV fixed for the surveillance in total of 186 cells. But then there is one case died in the custody itself. When we had a dialogue with the EIC, they also said in one of the investigations, I'm not very sure which case is this, they say the CCTV is not in operation. Then they asked why it's not in operation. They said, no, that's a different department dealing with. We have our multimedia team, but then we have to call for the contractor to repair the CCTV. So that was one example they gave. But the fixing CCTV, we believe it's very important. It's already in practice for a while. But the issue is not with their existence, but their performance. For some of the investigation done on previous cases, in death in custody was hampered by the fact that the CCTV was not functional during the time of death or during the time he was moved from the lockup to the investigation room.
Suaram does not fully blame PDRM for these incidents as they too have limited resources. But the NGO does not think that just by installing CCTVs in lockups will solve the bigger problem. A change in mindset is the key.
To be fair to PDRM, they may be limited by their budget and their physical capacity in the provision of food and detention cells. In this regard, the government would have to allocate bigger budget for these purposes. And in regard to the use of torture and the police brutality, substantive training programs on human rights need to be conducted for the junior and also the senior officers. Because even you fix a lot of CCTV, have a good budget, but they have to change the mindset that even if he's a criminal or he's not proven as a criminal, you can't torture them to admit on certain things. What the police need to do is like use the technology to find the evidence and bring them to the court and charge them accordingly. And improvement can be also be made if the Royal Malaysian Police is more transparent and more forthcoming in engaging with the civil society on the concerned race, because this has been highlighted for so many years. For starter, perhaps the IGP can openly issue statement to respond to the call made by the civil society, EIC and SWACAM, and provide the public with substantive updates on the development of the disciplinary proceedings in the cases of police misconduct.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.